Hi, I'm Mike Gasowitz, CEO of Tricert Financial Group. Welcome to another episode of our Echo series on legacy planning. And today's episode is focused on balancing inheritance. Joining me today, I've got two guests. I've got Oliver Lee, head of our insurance agency. Welcome, Oliver.
Hi, Mike.
And also joining me is Gord Hardy, head of our financial planning team. Welcome, Gord.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, guys, so let's get into it. So what is this notion of balancing inheritance? What is this and why? I guess it's kind of obvious, but why is this an issue? Oliver, let's start with you.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I think, in simplest terms, the way I see it is ensuring all your children receive a fair portion of your estate. I think it's that simple. Just to maybe expand on this, this topic has recently become very, very important and significant. As land prices and business prices have increased, typically one of the children who succeed in the business, they ultimately receive the business or farm when the parents pass away. And the children that aren't involved in the business, they receive other assets. And again, traditionally that hasn't been a huge gap, but with land prices and farm prices and business prices increasing as much as they have, that gap is quite significant right now. And, a lot of parents are looking to treat the children that aren't involved in the business, more fairly.
Gord, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's become more and more difficult. I think, you know, when people sit down to start to look at how they're going to distribute assets eventually to their kids, you know, it's really simple to go, okay, I have three kids, therefore each of my kids will receive one third of my estate. And in theory, that may be really easy. But in practice, when you try and implement that, there can be a lot of challenges or even pitfalls that could happen as a result of trying to be very basic and just treat everybody equally from a dollar per dollar standpoint.
So we're using the words equal and fair, but, you know, let's not get into a socioeconomic policy debate, but let's talk about equal versus fair. Give me some examples where this, the difference between the two may come up.
From my standpoint, I grew up in a rural community. A lot of farm families, and it was always assumed that one child would take over the farm and the other would be off farm and receive other assets. And although I was rural, I was not a farm kid. So I would tend to look at it and go, wow, you see all the work that has to go into the farm operation, all of the risks that to some extent can be controlled, a lot of the ones that can't be controlled. And I would kind of look at it and I'd go, wow, I don't know that I would want to be the one taking over the farm and taking on all of that risk and effort. I always looked at it from a standpoint that, let's say the farm was worth $5 million. If I'm not interested or wanting to take on the risk to maintain the farm, I would rather almost take a smaller amount of different assets to be able to not have the burden, challenges, and risk that go along with it. And I think a lot of kids of entrepreneurs, whatever walk of life the business may be in, they may not be well suited to receive the business, or they may have no desire to receive it. So, you know, that the idea of we're going to split the farm or business in a certain amount to make everybody equal doesn't necessarily work out all that well, and you don't want to strap the business and the future of the business to the wrong child who may not have the wherewithal or the desire to carry it on.
That's a good point, Oliver. Anything more to add?
Yeah, I would echo a lot of what Gord is saying. Fair is the word fair is actually the, I think, the real correct word to use in this when clients are going through this process. We iterate a lot of times that equal is not fair. Because to Gord's point, the child who is, or children who are taking over the business or farm, there's a huge amount of risk and work. So it's important to kind of, again, consider the word fair.
Yeah, really good point. Taking into account basically a risk adjusted element to how you allocate the assets at the end of the day, just like we do when we build portfolios. There's a risk element, and then, as you say, effort element as well. So that makes a lot of sense in terms of discerning between the two, and it really is about being fair. So when should someone really start to plan for this? When should they take this whole idea of balancing into account?
Yeah, Mike, maybe I can start off with that one. So definitely do it. I think that's definitely, hopefully a key takeaway for our clients. I would think that, when the clients are working on a succession plan for the business, so when they have a little bit more clarity in terms of which children are starting to work in the business, and there's clarity in terms of which child or children will ultimately succeed and take the business, I think that's a good time to start to have this discussion and start to explore. I think what's also important is this is not a one and done. It's not a, okay, hey, we've addressed it, stashed away. It's going to change. We've certainly seen children enter and exit the business over time. And it's important that your estate fairness plan also has the ability to do that.
Gord?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, the answer of when is, you know, sooner rather than later, you need to start on the journey. You could be the owner of a very successful business and have young children where you have absolutely no idea whether they're going to grow into somebody who can run a business, wants to run a business. So I think early on, you want to have as much flexibility as possible. You know, if your kids are young, you're probably looking more at an outside sales situation to provide cash for the kids if something were to happen to you and your spouse. And then it would evolve over time. So to Oliver's point, everything's going to change as your kids grow, go to school, develop, maybe work in the business, maybe don't work in the business until later on, and they come in later in life. So that evolution of the inheritance balancing and the succession plan is going to change and be quite fluid over probably 20, 30 years. As the kids get older, probably becomes a little bit more predictable as to who's going to gravitate towards the business and who's not, which can make it a little bit easier to do the long-term planning on it.
Makes sense. So let's talk about who should be considered when you're, you know, think about fairness and back to balancing inheritance. Obviously the kids, any other considerations here?
I would say, depending on your philanthropic goals, you may want to consider charitable endeavors. You may have siblings or parents in certain situations. I think, you know, situation really comes into play, maybe not so much on the who should be considered, but the considerations around each individual member of the family that you intend to gift to. We see a lot of clients that don't have kids of their own, but they want to gift to nieces and nephews to make sure that they're paying it forward. So it's not just the immediate family that sits around your dinner table every night, but you know, you may want to open that up and have some considerations for other broader parts of the family and work that into the overall distribution of assets once you're gone.
Yeah, it's interesting going through a scenario right now where an inheritance could possibly skip a generation, goes on to the grandkids. And then so what's fair there? Because it isn't necessarily, you know, each of the first generation didn't have the same number of kids. And now you're dealing with the grandkids. So from a fairness perspective, suddenly you're going to allocate probably a little bit different if you're skipping that generation. Oliver, anything else to add?
Yeah, like, so the other part that I'm thinking about is communication. Once that plan is determined and figured out, it's important to communicate that to all the family members. So, you know, Mike, to your situation there, it's important to say, hey, yeah, the grandkids are going to get the business, but communicate to their children, their next generation, what's happening and why. So there's a real clear understanding that when mom and dad are no longer on this earth, you know, that everyone was aware of the plan and the reasons why.
All good stuff. So, you know, staying in the category of who, you know, the professionals, what professionals should someone pull into the conversation here and as they think through this? Gord?
Well, I would say first and foremost, your CPA. We see a lot of situations where clients have put a lot of thought into how they want to distribute the assets and why. But when we sit down and review it with the CPA, it may not be the best way to do it from a tax perspective. Some of it could stem from the fact that the assets I was going to gift to one child are liquid investment assets, but those liquid investment assets would have to be used to pay the tax if I were to crystallize my shares or sell the property that I want to gift to another child. So it really is something that seems easy on the surface, but can have some deep-rooted potential pitfalls if it's not done properly in the hands of your CPA. I would also say a good lawyer. Unfortunately, sometimes money makes people funny, and you could have beneficiaries with a really good relationship until it comes time for the rubber to meet the road and they don't feel that they're being treated fairly in a will. The will can be challenged, and that can cause all kinds of ripple effects for the next generation of the family and the ongoing relationships. You don't want to have a situation where doing something meant to be positive and distributing your assets to the betterment of the next generation destroys the relationships of that next generation. So that kind of ties back to what Oliver was saying about communication.
Right. Oliver, more to add?
Yeah, I would agree. Your accountant, your lawyer are key. Insurance specialist, I think, is key. You know, in many of these situations, insurance can be a tool to help create some fairness within the estate. And then, your financial planner. And in a lot of situations, your financial planner is probably the quarterback to help organize and coordinate all the professionals so that, you know, everyone's kind of marching in the same direction. We're all trying to solve the problem for the client. So I think those are probably the professionals. And then maybe just to build on that, you know, one of the things we probably should have said at the beginning is if there isn't a plan and there is, if this isn't addressed, you know, to be fairly blunt, it could cause family conflict and resentment. And, you know, this is probably one of the most important topics and decisions that our clients make. It's really the true definition of legacy. And really, we hope that the family dinners and the family get-togethers continue to happen long after our clients are no longer in this earth. And that's really the true reason why we do this and why we help our clients.
Yeah, really good points. You know, in terms of the professionals, I think you guys would agree, typically you bring the lawyers in at the end. I don't know if you guys agree, disagree. I'm one of those where, you know what, let's sketch everything out. Gord, to your point on, you know, the tax planning, again, one of the value of the TriCert approach, having the accountant who can deal with the complex tax issue intertwined with the financial planning aspect, where we can also pull in the ADAPT analysis to find out what's the most tax advantage from possibly using insurance, map that all out back, and then having the discussions on the fairness front, and then, so to speak, paper it to make sure it's good from a legal perspective. And then minimize the churn with that professional, the lawyers, in terms of kind of bouncing back and forth as you may be thinking through various scenarios. I don't know if you guys would agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other part of that, you know, to Oliver's point about the financial plan, once you've got the financial plan done, the plan in place, whether it includes insurance or not, as dictated by the ADAPT process, not leaving the kids kind of hanging as to not knowing how this eventual inheritance will impact their situation. But it's a great jumping off point to say, you know what? We started this with our financial plan. Now that we have an idea of what things are going to look like, let's communicate it. And although we never know what the timing is going to be of receiving those assets, we can start to show you what the future could look like for your family as a beneficiary.
Nice. Okay, gentlemen, thank you for this.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Folks, as always, if you have any questions about this episode or any episode you've listened to, feel free to contact and reach out to your financial advisor at your accounting firm. Talk to your TriCert Investment Counsel portfolio manager, or don't hesitate to reach out to myself. Take care.